Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has newly appointed two members of the Public Affairs Party to government. The district court in Semily has confirmed the right of the heiress to the Walderode noble family to property in the area confiscated after World War II. The Czech foreign and defense ministers at a conference in Prague on Friday praised the late U.S. President Ronald Reagan for his contribution to the collapse of communism in the former Soviet bloc. Czech President Václav Klaus appointed Karolina Pík and Pavel Dobeš, both from the junior coalition party Public Affairs, to government on Friday, a day after the three coalition parties, which include the Civic Democrats and Topo 9, reached a deal on fiscal reforms and personnel changes. Karolina Pík is the new deputy prime minister in charge of legislation and fighting corruption, while Pavel Dobeš is the new transport minister. He follows in the stead of de facto public affairs party leader Vít Bárta. In recent months, the right of center coalition had been badly shaken by allegations of corruption and discord between coalition members, with public affairs threatening to walk out. President Klaus on Friday said he was glad an agreement had at last been reached, calling the decision reasonable. The district court in Semily has confirmed the right of heiress to the Walderode noble family Johanna Kammerlander to local property confiscated by the Czech authorities after World War II. Former real estate belonging to the family in the Semily area includes the castle Hrubý Rohožec and surrounding property. During the war, the property was owned by the family's Karel de Fur Walderode, who, as an ethnic German, was stripped of it in 1946. A year later, he was given back Czechoslovak citizenship, but not the confiscated assets. Mrs. Kammerlander called Friday's decision a moral victory, but estimated that years of legal battles still lay ahead. The Czech foreign and defense ministers at a conference in Prague on Friday recalled Ronald Reagan's contribution to the collapse of communism in the former Soviet bloc. The conference is being held on the anniversary of Mr. Reagan's birthday. The former U.S. president, who died in 2004 at the age of 93, would have been 100 on Friday. Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg recalled Reagan's courage against the Soviet Union, as did Defense Minister Alexander Vondra. On Friday, the former U.S. Secretary of State under George W. Bush, Condoleezza Rice, also spoke. On the occasion of the anniversary, a Prague street will be renamed after the 40th U.S. president, who famously called the Soviet Union an evil empire. The prestigious Karlovy Vary International Film Festival kicks off on Friday. In its 46th year, the festival will once again draw countless celebrities and visitors to the famous spa town in western Bohemia. Among this year's respected guests are the British actress Judi Dench, who will be awarded the festival's Crystal Globe, as well as American actor John Turturro. President Klaus is expected also to attend the opening ceremony on Friday. Some 200 films, many of them by first-time directors, will be shown at this year's festival, which runs until July the 9th. And finally, just a quick look at the weather before the weekend. A worsening of conditions is unfortunately expected. Cloudiness and a chance of showers on Saturday. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of around just 17 degrees Celsius, so not quite ideal there. I'm Jan Vellinger. That's the end of the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, a new coalition deal saves the Czech government. We bring you the latest business news, and in arts this week, we learn more about the work of the iconic graphic designer Ladislav Sutnar. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. The Czech center-right coalition government has overcome the most serious crisis it has gone through since taking office less than a year ago. On Thursday, coalition leaders struck a deal meeting most of the demands of the junior coalition party Public Affairs, which has threatened to leave the government. The deal includes two more ministerial seats for Public Affairs and a pledge to pursue the party's agenda in taxation and fighting corruption. Jan Richter has the details.
Paní místopředsedkyně, pane ministře, dovolte mi, abych nahlas opakoval to, co jsem vám řekl.
President Václav Klaus on Friday morning appointed Public Affairs Deputy Chair Karolina Peake a Deputy Chairwoman of the Government in charge of legislation, and her party colleague Pavel Dobeš, the new Transportation Minister. The appointments were part of a deal reached on Thursday by the three coalition parties, the Civic Democrats, Topo 9 and Public Affairs, to keep the government in place. The junior coalition member Public Affairs had threatened to leave the government by the end of June if they were not granted two more seats in the 16-member cabinet and if their coalition partners did not respect their views on issues such as the fight against corruption and higher taxation of gambling. On Thursday, leaders of the three parties agreed on an addendum to the coalition agreement that includes most of Public Affairs' demands. After the meeting, Prime Minister Petr Nečas told reporters some of the points included in the addition.
We put down in writing our political agreements concerning the reforms of the pension and healthcare systems, as well as the overhaul of justice, public administration, and our anti-corruption strategy. And we also agreed on some changes in taxation policy.
The Prime Minister also said that the government will link a vote of confidence in the lower house to an income tax bill that will impose higher taxes on gambling beginning in January 2012.
Navrhneme jak vládě, tak poslaneckým klubům, aby...
We will propose to the government and to the three parties' deputies' groups to link the income tax bill, including the establishment of a new gambling tax, with the vote of confidence in the coalition government.
Spojila vláda svoji důvěru.
The coalition leaders might have agreed to pursue the income tax bill, but one of the coalition parties, Topo 9, has repeatedly pointed out it would be extremely difficult to implement it by the end of this year. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek from Topo 9 said if this was the case, investors in the gambling business might sue the country. Commentator Eric Best believes that for now the coalition is off the hook, but the income tax will put the government's cohesion to a serious test.
It's important because it's linked to a tax bill specifically related to gambling and other aspects that is quite controversial. And the finance minister, for example, has said that it would not be possible actually to implement this law, especially the part about gambling, by the end of this year, which would be required in this case. So it could end up being a potential conflict, and a large conflict of the same caliber as this one. So we can see either a conflict in the middle part of the summer or towards the middle of November, when the confidence vote would have to come.
The coalition is most likely to send a tax bill to the lower house of parliament in August. The MPs would then have 3 months to approve it, and by doing so, giving their vote of confidence to the government.
Thank you for this report, Jan. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. And now I am joined in the studio by Jan Wellinger, who brings us this week's business news.
Thank you, Sarah. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek has devised three possible options for cutting the 2012 state budget. One possibility would be to cut expenses across all portfolios by 5%. This would save a total of 18 billion crowns. Another could take the form of 10% cuts amounting to 32 billion crowns, which would allow for a 14 billion crown grant towards the construction of new highways. And the third option has been described by the minister as drastic cuts in the social sector. The government coalition is expected to decide on the exact method of how next year's state budget will be cut within the next 2 weeks. In 2012, the state budget has to be cut by 32 billion crowns, and for 2013, cuts of 55 billion crowns are planned.
The Labour Ministry on Thursday announced a tender for the new welfare payment cards, which will be issued from the beginning of 2012. Some 800,000 such cards will be issued next year. The winner of the tender will be authorized to collect a 1% transaction fee. In addition, at least 1,000 new ATM machines from which welfare recipients can withdraw their benefits should also start operating. Social welfare recipients will be able to use the new card at a minimum of 300 different shops in each region of the Czech Republic. While the new cards will not be mandatory at first, the ministry is planning to transform its payment system and will be promoting the use of such cards over wire transfers and other methods of payment.
Czech Airlines and the United Arab Emirates Etihad Airways have signed a new codeshare agreement, and direct flights between Abu Dhabi and Prague will be launched in September. 4 weekly connections are planned. Their number may be increased depending on demand. In addition, global connections through Etihad's network are expected to include cities in the Middle East, such as Kuwait and Bahrain, as well as Sri Lanka, Bangkok and Singapore, and destinations in Australia. According to Czech Airlines director Miroslav Dvořák, the markets in Eastern Asia are currently booming, which is one of the reasons that the airline is seeking to expand its connections to those countries.
According to the daily Lidové Noviny, Vietnamese small business owners pay up to 40% of their profits to organized criminals as protection money. Citing a 2010 report from the Organized Crime Unit of the Czech Police, the Daily writes that Vietnamese owners of convenience stores and other small businesses are often blackmailed or threatened with murder by so-called Vietnamese soldiers who collect such payments. The report states that such criminal acts are very hard to investigate due to the closed-off nature of the Czech Republic's Vietnamese community. According to the report, the problem also exists in other communities in the country.
The travel agency CK Parkham Holidays filed for bankruptcy on Friday. Clients who are supposed to fly to Bulgaria and Greece, the two destinations that the agency specializes in, will be unable to travel as planned. Some 100 clients of CK Parkham Holidays are currently stranded abroad and have been advised to contact the travel agency's insurance company for help. This is the third travel agency in the Czech Republic to go bankrupt this year. Some 1,400 travel agencies operate on the Czech market. With only 3,000 clients a year, CK Parkham was one of the smaller ones.
Thank you, Jan. And now we will go from the world of business into the world of arts. In today's arts, we discuss a new exhibition at Prague's Rudolfinum Gallery of almost forgotten paintings by the iconic 20th century Czech-American graphic designer Ladislav Sutnar. Entitled U.S. Venus, the show features playful, highly stylized nudes that fit within the designer's concept of joy art, a humanistic manifesto which looked ahead to the 21st century. On the day of the opening, Jan Wellinger spoke to the show's curator, Iva Knobloch, of the Museum of Decorative Arts in Prague. She talks about Sutnar as a painter, but also discusses his immeasurable contribution to the field of graphic design.
Ladislav Sutnar belongs to the most important graphic designers of avant-garde. And at the same time, he is an anticipator of new media and internet information age. He was able to found the information design branch of graphic design in 40s, in the period when nobody thought about information age. And he was able to anticipate it, to write about it already in 40s, 50s and 60s.
Much has been noted of his use of typography and punctuation, for example, to simplify the presentation of text and the information so that it's quickly presented.
Yes, the fast perception of information, it was his main mark. And he wrote and published the book on his own budget, Visual Design in Action. Design has to help. It was his idea, his philosophy. Design has to help to everyday life. Design has to help you to be able to work and to live in contemporary world, which is full of information chaos, which is chaotic.
So to help divide it up, to sort out information properly, where it's needed, when it's needed.
Yeah, but it was not only visual organization, it's organization also of the content of information. It has to be simplified, but all this simplification, reduction of information, it's highly intellectual process, scientific process of work with information content.
I've read that he was a proponent of universality. At the same time, though, his work, it seems to me, is immediately recognizable. He had a certain trademark. Could you discuss some of the things that were typical of his style?
Yeah, that's a sacred geometry, if I can tell like that. For his generation of avant-garde artists, the geometry was a mark of their work. They believed that geometry will help the world, will construct better and happier world, more safe, more healthy, and that's why the geometry is the base of their work. You can see it in Suttner drawings. His drawings are based on the geometrical grid. The grid is base of his design, but also of his paintings. It's not visible from the paintings or from graphic design, but if you see drawings, preliminary drawings, all this search of variants, this is long-term work, very concentrated, intellectually and artistically, very responsible to the user.
Now, if we look at the exhibition, which is just opened here at the Rudolfinum, U.S. Venus, it strikes me that it, in some ways, at least, it seems like something of a departure from his graphic work. For one thing, it certainly seems very American, if nothing else.
Yeah, it is American. We have just spoken about it with Ladislav Sutnar's son, that the female body and female types of Sutnar's paintings are Americans, not Europeans. American emancipated woman who is self-confident of her beauty, her wisdom, her energy. And during his life, he lived two waves of women's emancipation in 20s, when he, as a designer of interior, he communicated with women, because woman was user of his design. And in 60s, it was a second wave of emancipation in United States. Also, he was involved in advertising, where pin-up girls in American advertising was something typical, and typical also for the mass success of American advertising. Pin-up girls, who has a seductive force, and who Sutnar never used for his advertising, because his advertising was objective, punctuated on information, not on seduction. But in paintings, you can see the influence of those mass market images. There is also common point of Sutnar and pop art.
I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, this introduction of advertising mass market mass images into painting. But pop artists use it in very ambivalent way. They appropriated mass media images for criticizing consumer culture, but at the same time they very intelligently use it for their own media success. So there is both present in pop art. Sutnar was old-fashioned. He believes in ideal, in utopia. His Venuses, he use it for his program Joy Art, which is some kind of paraphrases of pop art, op art. Sutnar criticizes. So Joy Art is another
answer.
Yeah, and this is answer for the future. Sutnar wrote happier and better future. He wrote about Joy Art, that this is a mainstream for 21st century. So his Venuses,
they certainly seem idealized to a degree.
Idealized. This is an idol, icon of humanism, of humor, of spirituality, and of vitality. Those four elements are present in his Joy Art program he wrote in 1969 as an answer to pop art and op art.
Technically, how are these paintings produced?
This is very simple technique, acrylic paint on masonite.
Which is a fiberboard.
Which is a very primitive material. But the paint is brushed, so sometimes you can see very interesting texture. So there is not only play of colors and fantastic composition, but also play of different textures.
I read that this is the first one-man show since Sutnar's death in 1976. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is correct. I think this is a miracle that the paintings were preserved, because Ladislav Sutnar was known as a designer. After his death, all this design work was given to Cooper Hewitt Museum, which is Museum of Design. So paintings which were underestimated and were not seen as an integral part of his work were put aside and conserved by the family, but with a very complicated situation, and they were forgotten. During the first retrospective in 2003 year on Prague Castle, we shown only some of paintings, some of those as an integral part of the work. The reception was a big surprise. So that's why we organized this exhibition, to see that his paintings merit recognition.
When you look at the individual works, they certainly are playful, as you said. They're also sexy and generally positive. You can sort of, that sort of comes across, this optimism. Are there a couple of images, though, in the show that you would say point out, or that you prefer above the others?
Me personally?
Yes.
I think there is some interesting mixture of America and of Europe. And that's why I think the Sutnar's paintings were not received in his time in United States, because there is some kind of European view. This is outside view, not inside view. And that's why I like very much paintings all the way to USA, which is in the central part of the exhibition, and which shows this outside view of American emancipated woman, of American culture, in the time 69, when United States, it was not very happy period. So there is some kind of irony also seen from outside view.
It must be very satisfying for you as the curator as well to see the exhibition come to its fruition. What are you hoping that viewers will now take away from this show, viewers who may not be as familiar with Sutnar's work?
We are very happy that we can publish the book. I think this is very important. There is a long summary in English. So I think the book, which is very nicely done by graphic designer Štěpán Malovec, will help for Sutnar recognition as a painter. There is an interesting mixture of original photographs with archives material, which gives to us the insight of Sutnar's life as a painter, began as a 65 years old man to compete with young generation of pop artists. So for him it was very difficult really to receive recognition as a painter in this age, and with a painting which was intentionally against pop art.
Curator Iva Knobloch was speaking there to Jan Wellinger for this week's edition of The Arts. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with Soundcheck, our popular Czech language learning series, brought to you this time by Rosie Johnston.
Hello and welcome to Soundcheck. The song is called Cesta do Kadaně, Journey to Kadaň, and sees the group travelling to a range of glamorous and less glamorous Czech locations. The phrase to listen out for comes bang in the middle of the song and goes Veslaním je to nemastný. Veslaním je to nemastný a v kaši opět na kaši. V The slanim yeto nemasni means literally, in slani it isn't fatty, or in slani it isn't greasy, but the lyric is actually a play on a Czech idiom. If you say that someone or something is neslani nemasni, meaning not salty, not fatty in Czech, then that thing or that person isn't really very much of anything. In English, an equivalent might be that they're neither here nor there, or that they're not up to much, perhaps at a push. So, when our singer sings that Veslanim yeto nemasni, he may sound like he's vaunting the health benefits of life in Slani, but more likely he means that the town of Slani ain't up to much. Have another listen. Regular listeners of Soundcheck will already be equipped with several other ways of expressing indifference towards someone or something in Czech. You can call an individual or a single object neslani nemasni. For example, I found a Czech writing about the NHL as having a neslana nemasna sezona, a rather boring season, in 2009. But if you want to compare two items alongside each other and say that they're both not up to much, then you can say in Czech that it's a case of jeden za osmnáct, druhý bez dvou za dvacet. This translates literally as 18 of one and 20 minus two of the other, and is a slightly more mathematically taxing way of saying six of one and half a dozen of the other, as you might in English. Perhaps a slightly gentler way of saying neslani nemasni, which isn't all that rude to start with, but it's good to have options, is ani takové, ani makové. Ani takové, ani makové means literally not this way nor poppy-ish, and I think really is the Czech equivalent of neither here nor there. Examples I found on the internet referred to service in a restaurant as ani takové, ani makové, and several unfortunate personalities were described also as ani takové, ani makové, in other words, utterly undistinguished and utterly undistinguishable. I hope, however, that this edition of Soundcheck has proved to be far from ani takové, ani makové, and that now you have a range of ways to dismiss things out of hand in Czech. Naschledanou. Rosie Johnstone with Soundcheck there, wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. Of course, all of our programs and others are also available at our internet address, radio.cz. And if you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. You can contact us at email, at radio, at English, at radio.cz, or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. But until then, from me, Sarah Barufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.